My name is Dr. Steve LaTulip. I am a practicing, I was a practicing physician in Oregon. I am board certified in family medicine. I have been practicing family medicine, full spectrum, as well as pain and addiction medicine in Oregon, in a little town called Dallas for about 20 years, over 20 years. And I also am an ordained minister. I've been to Bible College and Cincinnati Bible Seminary, and I also am a career man in the Air Force. I actually was one of the very unusual people who got to fly heavy aircraft, and then I flew fighter aircraft, the RF-4C, with the Idaho Air National Guard. And then I finished my career in the military with the Oregon Air National Guard as Chief of Medicine. So I also have a background in microbiology. I was in a doctorate in micro. One day decided I couldn't spend the rest of my life looking down a microscope, so I started flying. 10 years later I eventually came back into the field that I love, which is the sciences. And medicine has fitted me very, very well. However, I have a few other titles as well now. I am infamously known as the Unmasked Oregon Doctor. Now, see, you have just complicated my case because you clapped. You see, I was accused of boasting to the public when I spoke on November 7th. I had an opportunity and I was accused of boasting that I did not mask. But I think that it was very well explained by our last speaker that the masks simply don't work. I do know the science. I do know the microbes. I did study microbiology, including virology. Had some immunology, epidemiology, and so forth. So they could not pull the wool over my eyes. And I looked at all the randomized controlled trials, the gold standard in medicine, and everyone that had been done absolutely convincingly showed that the mask is not a protective barrier against viral infection. And so I told my staff, no need to wear a mask. It just doesn't do anything for you. I did have a cold and flu virus protocol that worked very well, and I was pleased to say that I never got sick, and I was one of the few physicians in Oregon who actually stayed open through the entire pandemic, and I treated a good number of full spectrum or full blown syndrome COVID patients. And I had a unique protocol that was even a little different from what my fellow colleagues here have used, but I had 100% success. I had not one patient that went to the ER, not one patient admitted to the hospital. And get this, every one of them within about a week was asking for a slip to be released to go back to work. So that was a very terrible thing to do, apparently. When I had the opportunity to speak on November 7th, that speech somehow got videotaped and went on YouTube and went viral, not just across the U.S., but globally. So I was hearing all of a sudden from people in Europe and Asia and so forth. But also, shortly after that event, I also got a nice letter from the medical director of the Oregon Medical Board, who told me, in a nutshell, I'd better get my act together and I'd better start practicing medicine according to our nice governor, Kate Brown. And I was out of the office that time. I was visiting my two children in Arizona, so I got back a week later, and in the middle of a very busy day treating all my patients, along comes a little investigator from the Oregon Medical Board. And he says, if you don't mind, I'd like to speak with the doctor. He's talking to my receptionist. I'd like to have 5 minutes with your doctor. Okay, so I saw a couple patients more, made them wait a little bit, and then went into my office. And he introduced himself. I went to shake his hand. They held that against me, too. He did have a mask on. I did not, of course. And I I blessed him with all the information he asked, and I gave him more. I explained to him, you know, I do have a cold and flu season protocol. It's worked very, very well. And so I haven't had any problems with infectivity in my clinic, no contact tracing to my clinic. Everything was going smoothly. Because I remained open through the pandemic, it was a time in Oregon when virtually every physician had shut down and was hiding behind a desk at home, except that a few of my patients tried to contact their cardiologist or pulmonologist and could not so much as leave a message on the phone because it was all tied up. And so I had some patients in Florida heart failure who were very close to dying by the time they got in to see me. They were told not to go to the emergency department, but to stay home. There was nothing they could do. So they came to see me, and I treated them, of course, and saved their lives. And it was a blessing. It truly was a blessing. And as I said, I had a very effective treatment for early treatment of COVID-19, but I made the mistake one morning of actually having an opportunity to speak. My darling wife asked me if I'd go. I had 60 charts to complete. I said I didn't really want to go, but I did. As I went, there was a large crowd. I was asked to speak. I said, should I? And my wife and I looked at each other. It was like, yeah, okay, but if I'm going to speak, I'm going to speak. One of my other titles is a stubborn Frenchman. So that comes from my wife. So anyway, I did speak, and I spoke very plainly, and I stated very clearly with some support that masks simply do not work. Shutdowns do not work. But early treatment does work extremely well. And that was self-evident to me, and as I was very surprised that I was getting a lot of positive feedback, clapping from the crowd. So I was really happy with that. And I thought I was doing actually a very good thing, but I have to admit that I did expose the narrative that was not supposed to be exposed, especially in a state like Oregon. So I knew that when I stepped up to the microphone, I was putting something on the line. I wasn't sure what, but I knew that I could get some repercussions from this, and so I did. So I stand before you today with an emergency suspension of my medical license because I was declared an immediate danger to the public and to my patients. Now, yeah, isn't that wonderful? But there's a funny thing, part to the story that nobody knows in public. I got my infamous title of the unmasked doctor, and it was told that on MSM that I lost my license because I was boasting about not wearing a mask. Am I boasting today? No, I don't think I am, and I don't think I was. I just stated the facts very simply. So I was not boasting, but do you know that 5 months earlier, from the time I spoke, 5 months earlier, the Oregon Medical Board had already opened an investigation on me, something to the effect that we have word that you've been on social media talking about the mask and about not social distancing, not wearing a mask, and so forth and so forth. And there were three accusations. The middle one was I was not wearing a mask in my clinic, and that was true. So I confessed to that. I said, absolutely, I don't wear a mask. Neither does my staff. That's what the evidence shows. That's what I practice. And guess what? No harm whatsoever. Nobody got sick. My staff didn't get sick. I didn't get sick. I've never been tested for COVID. I don't know if I have antibodies, but I know I have antibodies because I treated so many patients. Of course, I got exposure. Do I need a test? No, I don't. We overtest in America. Was it going to change the outcome? No, don't do the test. So that's what I did. However, this was on November 7th when I spoke. On November 9th was the date of the bullying letter from the medical director of the Oregon Medical Board. And he says, get a line or something to the effect that there will be consequences. So when the investigator came to my office that day, I thought he just wanted to talk to me. Come on in. I actually gave him an hour of my time. Patients were backed up. I apologized to all my patients. But I wanted to show this investigator that, hey, I'm a human being. I am practicing good medicine. There's no evidence of any harm whatsoever, and an awful lot of evidence of good. Of course, I didn't realize that I was really putting myself in a precarious situation because I told him everything he didn't want to hear. I was a living example that what was being spoken of by various agencies, by what I call organized medicine, was not true. And I was a living example that, hey, I didn't have to mask, my staff didn't mask, we didn't get sick, we did have a very good viral protocol, antiviral protocol, and so forth, as we always do. And obviously it worked because I did no harm. There was no contact tracing, nothing that they had on me. So as this investigator is about to leave my office after an hour, he says, well, doc, he says, I just got to ask you one thing. He says, you know that letter you got from Dr. David Ferris, the medical director? I said, yeah. He says, well, is that going to cause you to change anything in your practice? And I thought, didn't we just have a 1 hour long discussion? Didn't I just tell you? It didn't matter to him. It's like he didn't hear me. And I said, well, no, I don't think it'll change a thing because I think I'm doing the right thing and I am actually practicing evidence-based medicine, which is what I've done for over 20 years in Oregon. I had a very clean, nice, sweet, clean record, nothing against me by the board up until that point in time. So I told him, no, I will not change my protocol. It's very effective. Obviously, it's working. My patients are happy. And by the way, with the mask, I did not tell my patients, you must not wear a mask in my office. I gave them an informed consent. We know what that is, right? It's what you're supposed to give a patient. Look, you're being told this, you're being told that. And of course, on every one of my patients' faces that came into my clinic during this pandemic time, I could just see the great big question mark on their face, on their forehead, like, who do I believe? Doc, you're telling me this, but look, I'm reading this. And I said, well, look, how long have you been with me? Yeah, a long time. Do you trust me? Do you think I'm going to harm you? Am I going to hurt you, or am I going to try and give you the truth and educate you so that you will not be psychologically harmed, so that you will not be harmed by the false security of a mask, and so forth and so forth? And virtually all of my patients were absolutely thrilled that they did not have to wear a mask in my office. But if they wanted to, fine, wear it, okay. And by the way, I treated a tremendous amount of mask morbidity. The problems caused by masks were not insignificant by any means. I treated all kinds of things physically and psychologically. But despite that, and despite the fact that the Oregon Medical Board knew for 5 months that I was not masking and my staff were not masking, they suspended my license and declared me an immediate danger to the public and to my patients. That hurt, okay? I love my patients. Half of my practice is pain and addiction. Those patients were depending on me. You know how many doctors nowadays want to do pain medicine? None. I had a whole bunch of pain patients, and guess what? They were, every one of them, functional. Completely functional, completely happy, treated very, very well. They were enjoying their lives, making up for lost time. They suffered nothing under my care. I never had a suicide, never had an overdose. I treated them well. And there's a thing called central pain. And doctors, for the most part, don't understand central pain. That's the pain that causes migraines, irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia, complex regional pain syndrome, bladder pain syndrome, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So when you know how to treat that stuff, you can do wonderful things. And by the way, that actually contributed to the opioid crisis. When they took my license, I received a call by that investigator that came to my office, and he said, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I want you to know that they have decided to pull your license. You are officially now suspended, actually as of last night on December 3rd. I said, well, thank you very much. Oh, and I did tell him one thing before he went back to the board when he asked me if this would make a difference, his bullying letter. I said, he says, fine, that's all I need to know. I said, no, you need to know one more thing. I said, would you please go back to the Oregon Medical Board and tell them that if they want to start a fight with me, then God help them, because I was not going to stand for it. Now, I knew that I was going to be a sacrificial lamb. I suspected that highly, and I was. And I found out, I actually read my order of emergency suspension through mainstream media. I hadn't even gotten received a copy of it yet. I hadn't received it yet from the Oregon Medical Board, so I was clueless about what it said. I was curious, so I went online and found out, oh, that's what it says. Well, there was no due process whatsoever. The investigator never told me why my license was suspended. There was absolutely zero evidence of any harm whatsoever and much evidence of good, yet they considered me an immediate danger. My patients, all of them, were suddenly abandoned. My addiction patients, some of them now are back on the streets, seeking drugs. My pain patients, suicidal, giving up, that's it, I want to die, because they cannot find another pain doc to treat their pain, when they were just cruising, doing everything, just enjoying their lives. And I bump into them because I live in a small town, and they're grieving, they are suffering, and they're very dissatisfied because they simply cannot find a caring physician. I loved my patients. They were my family. So it hurts. I lost my livelihood. I had to sell my clinic. I sold the little old beach house in Pacific City, and I don't know if I'll be able to retain my home that I'm in right now. I may have to sell that. We are under attack, and I don't mind that. A lot of people ask me, would you do that again? And I'd say, well, I wouldn't do it exactly the same way. I would have given that speech a lot earlier, is what I would have done.
I wanted to join Dr. Latulippe because I feel as though Dr. Latulippe's story is really every man USA. This is where we're going if we don't stop the tyranny. We have an example I spoke of early this morning of the tyranny of the big over the little. So we have a physician who by himself is little versus the big of the state medical board or the hospital or in a parent's case, the school or the school district or the school system. The big came to oppress the little. The fallout from that oppression is personal and severe. It's also widespread. You live in a town where you're taking care of all these human beings who can't actually get a caring physician to help. You happen to be in a specialty area that's difficult to fill, mm-hmm. which is pain management. So those patients in particular have been harmed again. Is that how you see it? Because I see, when I heard your story, immediately I thought of big versus little.
Absolutely. I am grieving for my patients because many of them are lost. My addiction patients, they are treated horribly if they can find a physician or some provider for them, and the same thing with pain. It's definitely big against little, but we have a little story like David and Goliath,
exactly.
And I'm up for the fight. I really
exactly.
am.
Exactly. And the problem is in America, right? The backbone of America is the middle class. Now, the middle class right now is depending heavily upon business licenses. Of a physician's medical license is a subset of that. Pharmacists have pharmacy license. Hairdressers have hairdresser licenses. So all of the little people, which is just the individual, and I'm glad to have a doctor because most people don't think of a doctor as a little person, but what I really mean is the individual versus the collective. The individual hairdresser, the individual gym owner, the individual doctor, the individual dentist, the individual pharmacist, the individual teacher, they're powerless in the face of the tyranny of the collective. And here's a personal example, and I want to just thank you. I remember when you reached out to me and you told me your story. And the first thing I thought as a lawyer, because I'm a lawyer too, is I really didn't believe you. I said, what do you mean? There has to be due process. There has to be due process. That's like the backbone of American legal of jurisprudence. And then I got to know the story was completely as you said it.
It's true.
No due process. I've never heard of that.
I am living proof of your worst nightmare, doctors.
Yeah.
That's just the fact of it. But I would just say this in concluding. When the practice of evidence-based medicine becomes professional suicide, we have a serious problem. And we need to fight this. And I am here for it.